You are listening to a sermon by Angelica Dawson, recorded on Sunday, August 4th, 2019, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
I'm assuming this water's for me. Well, it's so lovely to be here again. It's been a while since I've been in your midst, and I'm always so happy to come and hear such lovely four-part harmony singing. So that was just fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And for the invitation to come. I value that as well. So listen to these words. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. I'm curious to know how many of you know the source of those words. Anybody want to shout it out?
Simon and Garfunkel.
So when Paul Simon wrote the words to the song, The Sound of Silence, from which I just read, he was probably not thinking about Psalm 88, which we just read and prayed together. But still, Paul Simon and Heman the Ezrahite, who is credited with writing Psalm 88, are both poets, both songwriters, and both giving public voice to an inner world, the inner world of a troubled person. One difference, and there are many, of course, is that while many of you knew that Simon and Garfunkel had recorded that song and might even have the melody stuck in your head right now, I apologize, I bet most of you have never heard a song set to Psalm 88, may have skipped over that one in the reading of your psalms, and have probably never heard a sermon on it. And the reason for that is pretty obvious. It's a super depressing song, written by someone who sounds like they're feeling completely and utterly hopeless. There is nothing but darkness in that psalm. The other thing that Paul Simon and Heman the Ezrahite had in common is that neither of them were likely writing about mental health. But it is with that in mind that we approach the text this morning. So according to statistics, 20% of all Canadians will experience mental health challenges to some degree in their lifetime. That's one-fifth of our population. What does that mean for you and me? That means that whether or not we ourselves have a personal experience with mental illness, we probably know somebody who does, either in our families, our friendship circles, at work, where we volunteer, where we go to school, or even here where we worship. I am so grateful that this congregation has a willingness and an openness to explore this topic in the context of your worship service, because many churches do not do this. And it's because of the culture of victory that pervades so much of our Christian culture that those who suffer from anything, grief, job loss, prolonged illness, or mental health challenges, they suffer in silence. I spoke here a few years ago and shared a bit of my own journey with mental illness at that time. I've lived with anxiety for nearly a decade now. In my early days, it was debilitating. It manifested itself as panic attacks, claustrophobia, a constant feeling of anxiety. At its worst, the physical symptoms literally kept me from sleeping, caused me to lose weight drastically because I was unable to digest my food. And I often wondered if I was having a heart attack because of the chest pain and rapid heart rate that I experienced all the time. Today, I am much, much better. And that is due to many things: proper diagnosis, help from my doctor and my naturopath, good counseling that gave me excellent tools to manage my anxiety, tools that include things like diet and yoga and prayer and meditation. As you have already heard, I work for Communitas Supportive Care Society, and my good friend Karen Santiago and her husband Rod are here. Karen is my friend, she's also my boss. She is the chief executive director for Communitas. And as I shared with you, Humanitas serves people that include the population that live with mental health challenges. And several years ago, we put together a worship resource that we have been using in the worship service this morning. And we did it purposefully and offered it free to churches on their website so that they can do what we are doing today, talk about mental illness in the context of our worship services. All of the materials in that resource were written by people who have lived experience with mental health challenges. And it was in the gathering and editing of these materials that I became acquainted with Psalm 88 and its devastating language. The book of Psalms is essentially the worship book of the Israelites. And we know many of them because we sing them, just like we did this morning. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the Lord. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Familiar texts to many of us. A quick search, though, of that hymnal, a worship book index, or a search through the CCLI Christian Copyright Licensing website from which many of the churches get our contemporary music from, shows exactly zero songs written about Psalm 88. And after reading some of that today, is it any wonder why? It almost begs the question, how did that one get into the Bible? There are many psalms of lament. Of the 150 psalms in our text, 42 of them are laments. Where Psalm 88 differs, though, is that it's the only one that does not end with any kind of positivity or hopeful refrain. Psalm 74 begins, "Why have you rejected us forever, O God? Why does your anger smolder against us?" But it goes on to say, "But you, O God, are my king. You bring salvation upon the earth." Psalm 86 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy, for I am poor and needy." But throughout that psalm, the writer talks about God being forgiving and good, abounding in love for all who call upon him. Psalm 22 begins, my God, why have you forsaken me?" which we sang this morning. "Why are you so far from saving me? I cry out day and night, but you do not answer." It sounds very similar to Psalm 88. But it changes its tune about halfway through. "I will declare your name to my people in the congregation. I will praise you. From you comes my theme of praise." The Psalms of Lament give voice to sorrow, to sadness, confession, and despair, but always seem to turn back to God, recognizing God as the source of salvation and hope, of comfort and security. Clearly, these were written by people of great faith. But Psalm 88 is different. It starts out with a cry of desperation, turns to anger towards God, and ends in complete despair. As a writer, I wonder how it snuck by the editors. Was Haman the Ezraite so far in despair and depression that he had lost his faith? And if he was, why would you include his text here? Should our songs of worship not declare our faith in the Lord? Well, coming to this text from the perspective of mental illness might give us some insight into these questions. The poet Mary Oliver once wrote a simple poem called The Uses of Sorrow, and it goes like this. "Someone I loved once gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this too was a gift." Psalm 88 gives us three gifts. Gifts for us when we are seeking to support someone who is living with mental illness, and gifts for us when we are in the midst of our own challenges with mental health. The first gift is that Psalm 88 shows us what deep, dark despair really looks like. When you're a person of faith living with mental illness, you are in a way doubly challenged. Not only do you have to deal with the illness that's in your mind, you have to deal with the guilt of feeling like your faith is weak. You come to church and you're encouraged to sing praises, even though you feel empty of praise, filled only with despair. You're encouraged to pray, and yet you feel you have no words. You're told to have faith, and you are trying truly. Yet when nothing seems to change, day in and day out, year after year, or like Haman the Ezraite says, for as long as I can remember, you begin to doubt even that. Because of the stigma that still surrounds mental illness and the culture of victory that pervades our places of worship, many who live with mental illness do it quietly, at least outwardly. You put on a good front, which can be exhausting. Inside, you're screaming, "Why?" This psalm gives us a glimpse into the inner world of someone in utter despair. I'm going to read the psalm to you from Eugene Peterson's The Message. Listen to his interpretation of it. "God, you're my last chance of the day. I spend the night on my knees before you. Put me on your salvation agenda. Take notes on the trouble I'm in. I've had my fill of trouble. I'm camped on the edge of hell. I'm written off as a lost cause. One more statistic, a hopeless case. Abandoned as already dead. One more body in a stack of corpses and not so much as a gravestone. I'm a black hole in oblivion. You've dropped me into a bottomless pit, sunk me in a pitch black abyss. I'm battered senseless by your rage, relentlessly pounded by your waves of anger. You turned my friends against me, made me horrible to them. I'm caught in a maze and can't find my way out, blinded by tears of pain and frustration. I call out to you, God, all day I call. I wring my hands, I plead for help. Are the dead a live audience for your miracles? Do ghosts ever join the choirs that praise you? Does your love make any difference in a graveyard? Is your faithful presence noticed in the corridors of hell? Are your marvelous wonders ever seen in the dark, your righteous ways noticed in the land of no memory? I'm standing my ground, God, shouting for help at my prayers every morning, on my knees, each daybreak. Why, God, do you turn a deaf ear? Why do you make yourself scarce? For as long as I remember, I've been hurting. I've taken the worst you can hand out, and I've had it. Your wildfire anger has blazed through my life, and I'm bleeding black and blue. You've attacked me fiercely from every side, raining down blows till I'm nearly dead. You made lover and neighbor alike dump me. The only friend I have left is darkness." When you're living with mental illness, this is what despair looks like. You're in a situation that you didn't ask for, and you're longing for relief that does not come. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? But we cannot ignore these realities just because they make us uncomfortable. When we're seeking to support someone living with mental illness, Psalm 88 shows us what deep, dark despair looks like. And if 20% of Canadians, 20% of the people sitting in our pews are living with some experience of mental illness, and if we genuinely want to respond, then we have to be willing to sit in that discomfort. Psalm 88 helps us by painting a word picture of what that looks like, what it looks like to live in deep, dark despair, so that we can begin to see the reality of what some of our friends and family live with every day. When you're living with mental health challenges, sometimes you simply need to have someone come alongside you and listen and be witness to the realities of your despair without comment, without judgment. If Psalm 88's first gift is to show us what despair looks like, its second gift is to give us a voice in the darkness, language to use when you have none of your own. For someone living with mental illness, this can be a great gift, because when you're so deep in the midst of your own experience, you sometimes have no language to express what you're going through. Just as the poetry of praise and adoration can give expression to our feelings when we are looking for ways to praise God, the poetry and language of despair and anger and utter discouragement that we find in Psalm 88 can give expression to our feelings when we are bringing these feelings to God. One of the reasons I read Psalm 88 from the Message is because of the expressive language that Eugene Peterson uses to bring this text to life. You've dropped me in a bottomless pit, sunk me in a pitch black abyss. I'm caught in a maze and I can't find my way out, blinded by tears of pain and frustration. For as long as I remember, I've been hurting. I'm bleeding black and blue. The only friend I have left is darkness. This past spring, on Good Friday, I was deeply moved by our worship service at Emmanuel Mennonite, where I attend. Our service was focused on the last seven things that Jesus said as he hung dying on the cross. Now, I'm 55 years old, and I've been going to church my whole life, so I've been to a few Good Friday services. I've read the texts many times, I've even seen some of the movies. But that morning, I was suddenly struck by one of the phrases spoken by Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? I was struck by the fact that Jesus was using scripture, was using a psalm of lament to give voice to his own utter pain and despair. His words were the opening words of Psalm 22, and they expressed the anguish that he felt. Now, I can't even imagine what it feels like to be nailed to a cross. I don't really want to imagine that. For Jesus, it wasn't just the pain of physical torture, but that weight of sin on his shoulders, the separation of him and God. It was physical, spiritual, mental anguish, and even Jesus could find no words of his own to express what was happening inside of him. Psalm 22 gave him the words that he needed in that moment. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes how the Spirit can intercede for us when we have no language for our prayers, interceding with wordless groans. In the same way, the scripture gives us language to use when we have none of our own to express the deepest, even the darkest things going on inside of us. The third gift that Psalm 88 gives us is trifold. It is the gift of gifts of acknowledgement, permission, and recognition. Acknowledgement that what we are experiencing is real and legitimate. Permission to feel what we are feeling in the midst of that experience. And recognition that our crying out to God is a sign of deep faith in the midst of darkness. That is significant. If you hear nothing else this morning, if you take nothing else away today, please hear this, that a cry of desperation is not a lack of faith. A cry of desperation is not a lack of faith. In fact, it is the exact opposite. It is out of a deep and abiding faith in God, a sign of a deep and real relationship with God, that one can cry out in such pain, such anguish, such anger, knowing that God will not turn away. For someone in the midst of debilitating depression or living with the fear that comes with anxiety or the horrors of psychoses that make you feel like you don't even know yourself, you're looking for answers where there often are none. When I was dealing with the worst of my anxiety, I felt so helpless and angry. I would read my Bible, filled with stories of people healed of all kinds of sicknesses, raised from the dead for crying out loud, and wondered why this same healing was not being extended to me. Sometimes I wondered if God was actually doing this to me, and it made me angry. And then I would feel guilty. Good Christian should be able to turn from this deep sadness, this fear, and find comfort from God, shouldn't she? A good Christian shouldn't be angry at God, should she? But what Psalm 88 does is acknowledge that what you are feeling is real by giving a vivid description of your experience and by giving voice to what you are feeling and doing so in the context of Scripture. Psalm 88 is a song in a worship book. And just as praise is a form of worship, so is lament. God has given us a way to voice our despair, The psalmist has given us a song that acknowledges this lament. What Psalm 88 does is give you permission to feel exactly what you're feeling, to give voice to all of the reality of what you're living with, without the fear of being rejected by God. If these dark, despairing words are in our Bible, our sacred text, then they must be there for a reason. What Psalm 88 does is recognize that your relationship with God is stronger than your mental illness, stronger than your despair or your grief or your loss, is stronger than the anguish that you feel. The opening words to Psalm 88 are these, and this time I'm reading from the New International Version. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. Does that sound like a person with no faith? A person who doesn't believe in God? The very fact that the psalm opens with an acknowledgement of God, the God who saves me, is a profound expression of faith. A cry of desperation is not a lack of faith. Final thought in closing. I titled this message, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, and I did that because of the final words of Eugene Peterson's interpretation of Psalm 88, the only friend I have left is darkness. But here's the thing about darkness. You can only know darkness unless you know light. We think of darkness as the color of despair because when you're in the darkness of despair, you're longing for the light that you once knew. At the close of our service today, we'll sing a song that reflects this imagery. This song is not Psalm 88 set to music. That will have to wait for another musician, perhaps someone from this congregation. The song is also not specifically about mental illness, though it does touch on some of the issues that are sometimes impacted by mental illness or that are experienced by those who live with it. So when we sing it, take note of the words that express some of that darkness that is in our world today. A troubled world, living in despair, the need for food and water and shelter, home, safety, a sense of belonging. The song is a prayer that God would make us, would shape us into the kind of people and the kind of place that would reflect the light of Christ into those dark places, the darkest experiences with which some of us must live. And as you go into the rest of this week, it is my sincere prayer that you will take the gifts of Psalm 88 with you.